Okay, so it's not what I was going to talk about, but I mean, people are interested in talking about it. So I can say something about the non-minimal forms in the higher loop.
I think first you should say what you were planning to say, and then we picked it up from there.
Well, I mean, there are things related to string field theory, but those people aren't here, so...
Maybe you should be late, or still they can't. Maybe they will come, or...
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe it's still...
wet in the wet.
So we have lambda L, so it's natural to introduce a lambda bar. So if you want to do integrations, it doesn't make too much sense to do holomorphic integration. So the question is, where do the lambda bars come from? So in this non-minimal approach, they're essentially put in by hand to regularize 0 over 0. So how do you put them in by hand? You have to add the non-minimal here.
So are you unhappy with the way I introduced them? Do you think it's different from what you're saying? Because yesterday they appeared from the top, right? They were introduced automatically. Are you unhappy with that?
I think there are many ways to introduce it. The final answer is the same. I'm not unhappy. I don't care where they come from. You're asking me if I care where they come from.
I mean, I explain where they come from, so why do you need another explanation?
I think you can have many explanations, I think. I mean, I don't think there's just one explanation where they come from. So, actually, another way to get them, which may be related to what you said, is you start with... So, this an approach of Witten, which is also related to some things that Nikita's done. So we start with 2,0.
Or 0,2.
And you introduce non-minimal fields to handle the chiral bosons here. So these are the same non-minimal fields that appear here. So different ways to get there. For me, the important thing is that you have a way to the function of integration. These are the lambda bars. I mean, for me, BRST invariance is the whole story. I don't care where it comes from, but if the theory is BRST invariant, then I trust. If it's not, then I don't trust. So you want to introduce them in a way that preserves BRST invariance.
Well, in a way, they were forced by the gate from the zero mode gauge invariances. In a way, I discussed them.
Look, Kostas, I don't want to say what you did was wrong, but it was after the fact. I mean, it's easy to get there after the fact, but I think first you have to know what to put in. I think after you know what the answer is, there are always going to be different ways to get there. I mean, I think... I don't think the justification of them is that important. I think what's important is if they do the right thing or not.
Well, is there some way to generalize Kostas' approach? Because he had a world sheet metric, so that looked sort of good, except it was a little bit too trivial somehow, because it had this extra gauge invariance, we just get rid of the whole thing. And is there some way to sort of weaken that invariance so that somehow the gauge parameters are turned into the usual coordinate transformations, then the gauge invariance for the fermionic partner from the metric would turn into some new gauge invariance corresponding to kappa symmetry maybe in some way. And that would be kind of interesting.
Well, I guess the place I want to go is it's a useful tool for computing BRST invariant expressions. I think as a physicist, that's all you need. I mean, if you want to get some mathematical derivation of where they came from, okay, but how does it help? So I think the people here probably already know how to use them, but the idea is that you have to introduce them together with their superpartners, and it's related to this 0.2 model that I think was first.
Well, it's probably not Witten. There's some Russian people who did this first, right? Is Frankel one of them? Malikov or somebody like that?
No, but this is people like Shekman, Weintraub, and Malikov. They studied just curve beta gamma systems.
Okay.
Mathematical aspects of that.
Okay, so I think historically that's where they came from.
So for me, it's an important twist that you guys are all right moving.
Yeah, okay.
But the idea is that you add this non-minimal set of variables which help you
to get rid of zero over zeros. That's what non-minimal variables are there for.
Okay, so in the case that in flat background, the way you introduce them is you have so you want to regularize the integration over the thetas and lambdas using this. And the integration over the R is the L and B. Allows you to reduce the 16 theta integrals into 5 theta. Okay, so then you get back to the original measure factor that was used, in which you just have, after doing this integral here, you get an expression which is continuous. Which is independent of the non-minimal field, and after doing the integration, you just get the
BRC invariant expression you want.
Okay, so this is for tree amplitude. Okay, so the natural question is how to extend it to loops, and then you have to introduce additional terms in your gauge fixing factor. So how many additional terms do you have to add depends on two things. So this is related to processes question. So if you only need to get rid of zero modes, then you have to introduce just the zero modes for the let me write it in this form, and we have to introduce Q is so you want to introduce W alpha, S alpha. So this will also give you terms like W bar or this. So ignoring subtleties related to the fact that this is not gauge invariant, this allows you to integrate over the zero with the W. Now suppose you have more poles. So suppose you have poles which go like 1 over lambda bar, some power 11 plus n instead of
less than 11.
So what that means is that you have to introduce the regulators here which carry not just the zero mode dependence of the W's, but the non-zero mode dependence of the W's. So this is related to changing the... So if I think of the beta gamma language, it's related to putting in beta
bar terms in Lagrangian so that the gammas are no longer chiral.
When they're not chiral, you don't have problem.
This type of term is problematic anyway because you have this homotopy operator?
Yes, so these are dangers. So the problem with these is related
to the problem with this homotopy operator.
Yeah.
So, but do you want to make them legitimate? I mean, because the homotopy of...
No, so the problem is because of this, because these lambdas are holomorphic. So the problem is that this thing here, if you write, I think you know the problem. So Q of this is equal to 1. So if you expand this out, you get terms like R theta to the, I guess, 10. So this type of operator will necessarily have poles of this order. So you should not allow operators of this type. But if you add this type of term into the regulator, what it does is it smears out this pole.
So that the lambda and lambda bars don't have zeros at the same point.
So how do you do that? Well, when you do the functional integral over the betas, what that's going to do is going to shift the lambdas. So you can write this, if you want, you can write this as beta c plus c. And I integrate over f. That gives me this beta bar term.
And now this is can just be interpreted as shifting lambda
and lambda bar after doing the beta bar integration. So you've shifted the pole from lambda equals 0 to lambda equals minus f.
So it doesn't seem to help, but if the f's have z dependence,
then you're going to shift these poles
in different places, depending on...
So they can't be, when I wrote this, they have to start out in different locations. So this would be a z1, this would be a z2,
Okay. You're not allowed to have poles of order 11 if all these lambdas are at the same point on the world sheet. But if they're distributed at different points on the world sheet, then you can regularize in this way.
Okay, so doing these computations is a mess because
you have to.
I wasn't careful with the gauge invariance of the betas.
So there are many subtleties with this, and I don't claim that all these subtleties have been understood.
But I think the method. If this method doesn't work, I don't think any method will work. So that's the... I don't see any obvious
problems with this method. I don't see any obvious reason why this method is not going to work.
Oh, well, what's the origin of the half bar?
This is a regulator.
It's just a way to rewrite it using minus beta. These are also FF bar term.
Yeah. So, okay, I can put the FF bar. So you do this in a BRC invariant way.
In the same way as you do this in a BRC invariant way.
I mean, you said the part modifies, puts beta bar, so it's really not, it's not the same system. It looks to me a bit...
It's a Q-Z information.
Yeah. So you have to add fermionic partners in these.
How do you see that shifts lambda? So the idea is that if you have a singular looking expression, one lambda lambda bar, you actually will hit current operators. You just mirror the singularity. So this is just the Laplacian. So you just actually on the exponential of the Laplacian on the spinner space.
But it's not trivial that this is BRST exactly.
Laplacian dressed with fermionic corrections.
It's not obvious it's BRST exact because I haven't written it with the super partners. If I did write it with the super partners, then it would be obvious.
In the same way as this one. So when you write this out, you get lambda on the bar plus
WW bar.
This WW bar is the same as this. I just changed to keep the notation of beta bar.
W is the same as beta.
What do you mean super partners?
Fermionic partners. So you have R's and S's.
The momentum for lambda bar is Qz. So this is
.
kind of looks funny, because if you integrate out f and then you can integrate out beta, then you just get a gamma bar dd bar gamma. So gamma and gamma bar look like they're conformal weight zero or something. And this Lagrangian you wrote down here with the f terms.
Yeah.
You can integrate out f, then you can integrate out beta, and then you just get gamma bar dd bar gamma.
So yeah, it's something with chirality.
So.
Is that so that's the point. So once it's a non-chiral, once you have a non.
For us, put, yeah, both gamma and gamma bar are chiral.
Yeah, you're right. So.
Oh.
They both sorry. They both should be d bar.
Oh, so it's actually d bar squared.
No, it's not a conformal operator because the dimension is zero. But it's only for zero moles, so it's not as bad.
Why momentum for lambda bar is QXR?
Okay.
The momentum for lambda bar is QXR, the conjugate?
Yes, it's Q of the momentum of R.
So W bar can be like this.
I mean, it's part of the fact that this is a non-minimal there, right?
So there are other terms here involving the fermion, just like there are other terms here. So you have terms involving S and U, which are necessary in order to make it BRST exact.
G is the constraint?
G is the same G as here. So it's essentially the same terms, because now you allow this to depend on non-zero mode. So if I had used the same lattice, it wouldn't be clear, but it's supposed to be.
So what's the obstruction in pushing this to the bitter end and have a final expression which
Well, doing this correlation function is a mess. So there are two questions that I didn't make. So this is not gauge invariant the way I wrote it. You need to use N and not W. And the other thing is that you have to function the integrate over these F. I mean, if you look at my paper with Nikita, it gets messy near the end. I mean, so.
Well, I agree, sure.
I'm not saying this is there might be some way to simplify this, but I think the basic idea is, this is the basic idea. I mean, you want to somehow add something which depends on non-zero modes, which is going to regularize these poles. It's important that the poles are not all at the same place on the world sheet, otherwise the problem that Michael mentioned is will kill you. If you're in different places on the world sheet, then you can regularize. Now, the B goes, does involve poles, but not order 11. If it did, you'd be dead. So that's the basic idea. Now, everything is in the details, of course. Until you compute the three-loop amplitude, you're not going to convince anybody that it works. But at least this is the argument that it should be possible. Want more details? Or?
Well, I mean, I would have liked to see the other details, but okay, this maybe it's not for the.
Yeah. So details are a mess, and that's why.
Well, I know it's a mess. The issue is to point out where are the subtleties and where.
Okay, so the subtleties are in defining this in a gauge invariant way. And of course, in doing the correlation functions. So, correlation functions are going to have non-zero mode dependence. Everything is going to be only BRST invariant up to surface term. So, it's going to be more complicated, but life is complicated. I mean, three loop amplitudes are complicated. Okay, so let me go a little bit in a different direction. Okay. So, I mean, I'm happy to keep on this topic if you want more. So I told you where the subtleties are.
Now, you look at this level, I can see them from the actual paper, right? So. The issue is whether one can go beyond what you actually wrote in the paper, that you know, tell us something.
No, we haven't done any work beyond what's in the paper.
Or can I clarify what it is written in the paper?
If you have a question about what's in the paper, I can clarify it.
I can do a talk on the paper, but I don't think it's that. I am not happy with the final state of the paper. It gets complicated in the end. So, I'm hopeful that you can simplify it, but I haven't done it yet. I just wanted to address your question about your doubts that there might be some fundamental obstacle.
I mean, for me, yes, as you say, you know, the devil is in the details. So before the details are settled, I'm not saying this is not plausible. It is.
There may be minor obstacles, but I don't see any fundamental obstacles.
But at the same time, it's been how many years since the paper, right? It hasn't been used or developed further.
Pastor, what's your point? That other people working on it, or that other people have tried and failed, or what's your point?
So is there any reason why that hasn't been any
problem? How many people have worked on
people that work in this
How many case? People have worked on three loop amplitude in the last 20 years? So have you tried to work out the three loop amplitude expression?
Well, I tried something. I mean, I tried to.
Well, certainly, four quantum digits are supposed to be special and easy.
But they depend on the non-zero modes. It's not as easy as two.
Yeah, okay, well...
Maybe extracting the low energy limit might be easier. If that's what you're suggesting.
Yes, and what I was trying to show is to extend this... I was not trying to compute the full loop completely, but you know, there is this relation between the transform. Okay, so you have this argument...
That wouldn't satisfy Costas. He doesn't care about the low energy limit. He wants the full expression. This is irrelevant. So
I understand. Okay, but anyway, I mean, people are trying. Okay.
I don't think anybody is computing it. I don't know anybody. I know some people who looked at measure factors in NSR, but that's completely unrelated to this.
Okay, so I guess, so one thing I could say something about the recent paper with Warren. So there's a generalization of this procedure to RNS. So if you think of RNS minimal as, what's even notion? In some sense, it's related to the pure spinner minimal, in the sense that you have delta functions of the G have delta functions of lambda, G have delta functions of gamma.
So these are the usual beta gamma ghosts. Of course, these carry indices, Lorentz indices, these don't. So there's a non-minimal version of pure spinner, of course, this, which allows you to write down a string field theory action that only makes sense in the sense that this n is the same n as here.
So this is just tree amplitudes.
So this is invertible if you just change the sign here.
So the equation of motion is really what you want. You just q phi plus. So it's multiplied by n, but because it's invertible, there's no question. Okay, so if you do this for Nigel Schwartz, you start out, so this was in Michael's talk last week, you start out with this equation of motion. And the idea is that this yy bar can also be written in the form of course the n will be different, so the non-minimal field I'm going to introduce or which you introduce are different.
Can you remind me what this y y bar?
Yeah.
But y bar,
so y is one way to write is c d c in the minus 2 phi.
Okay.
Another way to write it is c delta gamma into gamma, where so gamma is a to the phi 1 over gamma is C e to the minus pi, and delta gamma is E to the minus pi.
Wasn't why non-invertible?
Okay, so why is not convertible? Because, for example, if you hit it with a C, you get 0.
Yeah, but then why you can rewrite it as a...
Why can you write it like this?
If you rewrite it to n, it means that you can...
Oh, I haven't told you what n is yet.
Yeah, but the, what is the white bar? It's just the holomorphic?
Holomorphic version.
Okay, so to get n, so this is in the recent paper with Warren, you introduce some non-minimal variables. Instead of lambda barring r, I'll call it u and r. So now these are just scalars on the world scene. So this is fermions and bosons. And you define, so you modify the BST operator. So let's say the kind of distributes is called V and S. So Q is QR and S plus, so in analogy with this, we'll call it VR. And now we're going to define n as exponential of exponential q with c c u. So what you get here.
What did you add? R? Is this R?
VR.
VR.
V?
That's the L.
What is the conformal weight of U?
Okay, so this will be defined to have conformal weight minus a half. Of course, we'll have conformal weight minus one. So unlike in this case, where the conformal weight zero, in this case, that's conformal weight minus 3 half. So it's a little bit strange, but it turns out to do what you want. It's related to the fact that U is going to play the role of gamma bar. So gamma here has conformal weight minus a half instead of 0. So that's why U should have conformal weight minus a half. Okay, so this. So why is this related to this y? So if you just do this out, you'll get the term which is u gamma squared coming from, so q has a term u gamma squared in it. When you commute that with the c, you get the gamma squared, u gamma squared, and then from this, you get a c. So when you integrate over U, the subject here, you'll get E, so because of this exponential dependence, you'll get just delta, well, let's say rho equal 1, so you just get delta gamma squared. This can be written as delta gamma over epsilon r. So we want to get y bar. So we just have to add to this the anti-homomorphic part. So put a c bar u bar here. And you get here. And now I'm going to integrate over u and u bar. So you get. And that's just the same as delta gamma. So this is what we called here this part here. So now if you also integrate over R over the fermion and carbon, then you'll pick up the factor of CC bar just from these terms here. So this gives you the Y line.
So the advantage of using this is, of course, this is inversion. The disadvantage is that if you use this, the string field now 5 has to depend on the usual RNS variable, so that's 5 UBC beta gamma. But it also has to be allowed to depend on the other one. So why is that? It's just because when you do the functional integral, you just functionally integrating over all the world sheet fields in one branch. So we have to have conform weight minus a half in order that it has 2 zero modes. And so when you do the integral, you recover the original half. Okay, so the action now is going to be essentially the same as in the pure zero form, when you have an N 5 cubed 5 plus 5 cubed, but these 5s now depend on the RNS variables and these non-minimum variables. And this N is now defined as in here. So this has an infinite number of string fields if you try to write them in terms of string fields which are independent of the non-minimum variables. So it's more complicated, but at least the equation of motion of this is just what you want. So you just get N 5 plus 5 squared equals 0, which of course implies 2 5.
So these extra fields are the quartet, and sort of, right, the BST quartet, this extra field. So the equation of motion that should be the same.
So on shell, it describes the same physics, but off shell, you have many more fields. And so you can think of this just a regularization of the original action. In the same way as in the pure spin form, and this is a regularization of the action with the minimum. So,
with these new variables, you have some sort of a new notion of picture, right? So, would it be in the string field theory like gauge symmetry which will remove this new picture?
So the picture in the old language, so everything is in the zero picture. There's no
posentization of the field, but now you have dependence on these.
Yeah, and you can define picture which is related to them, right?
Yeah. So you can define charge. Let's not call it picture, because
okay.
So you can define non-minimal charge.
Okay.
So on shell you can gauge away all the non-minimal charge, but off shell it's there.
Yeah. So in the string field, these various copies with different charges will be related by gauge transformation, or?
Well, they are actually trivial, or not? Or I'm not sure what. Yes.
Actually, the space-time has increased, right?
If you want to think of these as space-time variables, you can. But I mean, it's the same at the same level as these in pure spins.
Yeah, but they have different conformal weights.
So. Yeah, okay, so they have different. I mean, it's at the same level in the sense that
on shell, nothing depends on them. So,
I mean, I think the proper name is non-minimal variable. I don't know if Warren knows another name for it, but it's things that you add, but they don't affect the cohomology. They're not ghosts. I mean, in a sense, you're regularizing zero over zero. You're not. Okay. Maybe it's at the same level.
The other name is topological.
Yeah. Okay.
If you think about what you've done in terms of the target space-time interpretation, it's not that you added skills in space-time. You increase the space-time.
If you want to think of these, so they do look kind of like harmonic variables. So. Because some of them are bosonic. Maybe that's why you want to call them space-time.
Are they bosonic?
Yeah.
So you add a topological piece to the space-time.
Yeah.
The original space-time is kind of a brain sitting in the extended one.
Yeah.
And what you want to say is that the physics is sort of localized on the brain.
Yeah.
Actually, also in the topological gravity, you have a similar situation because the y in topological gravity is just c d gamma, delta gamma. Okay, yeah. So there is no 1 over gamma there. So you
can. In topological gravity, the gamma is gamma squared.
Yeah, right. I mean, okay, but you have this called picture punctures or something like that.
So this is a puncture operator.
Right, and then actually you can do the same game exactly.
So maybe you just have a gamma.
There you also know that there are string field theory. I mean, the Kodaira-Spencer theory. And
okay. So it certainly sounds like it's.
Yeah, you can do the same game exactly. Actually, it is a little more like the pure spin case because they really you have a theta lambda and lambda bar exactly the same type, and they actually are spin zero, spin one fields.
Okay, so there might be something deep in the sense that actually, if you try to map RNS to a spinner, It's natural to associate gamma squared with being related to something like, in one of my pedagogical lectures, I introduced this additional gamma field.
So this additional green gamma. It's called phi, actually, because it's a, this level of the phi field in supersymmetric gauge theories, which is the same. It's a ghost for the fermionic symmetry.
Right.
So if you introduce the metric and the gravity, the way it costs. I don't know why he didn't write the ghosts, but that comes with a set of ghosts. So you can see ghosts for the...
I did write the ghosts, right?
So you have a ghost for the bosonic diffeomorphism of bullshit, and then you have corresponding fermionic transformations, which shift the gravity. The corresponding ghost is what you would call gamma squared.
Okay, so I think I agree with what everybody is saying. All I want to say is these also play a role. No, in the non-minimal formalism, I mean, in the pure spinner formalism that I talked about, I don't remember if it was the first or second lecture I gave, I added this gamma set. And this gamma is simply gamma squared here. So it sounds related to what Pierre said. Okay, so... So that's what I have to say about it. So there's some problems with this also. Okay. Gauge fixing with this is going to be complicated for the same reason gauge fixing with this action is complicated. It's just because the B ghost doesn't commute with the regulator. So, okay. So it's not perfect, but okay, it does. It's a little bit better than the original duplicate. Oh. Okay, so that's what I have to say about that. Any questions? Okay, so now I want to switch topics a little bit. So I want to go to ABS-5 and this 5, where it turns out that you don't need non-minimal fields. So I want to say why you don't. And, so all of the subtleties or complaints of process seem to go away in this 5. So of course, ABS 5 times this 5 is more complicated than a flat background because the action is not quadratic. But there's some things that are simpler. So, before saying what's simpler, let me just point out that it would be natural to try to identify this with just the left moving. So if this is the left moving ghost, we call this the right moving ghost. So in principle, there's nothing stopping you from saying the complex conjugate of the left moving field spinner is the right moving field spinner. So why don't you do that in a flat background? So suppose you try to construct an invariant out of, let's say, within type 2A. So for type 2A, I can contract the left and right moving field spinner in this way. And suppose you want to say that this is the complex conjugate of lambda. So if lambda is not completely vanishing, then this thing, you would say, is non-zero. So this is something which is at least non-negative. Now it turns out in the flat background, this object is in cohomology. I mean, it's not in the cohomology. So Q, this can be written as Q of theta alpha n square alpha. So, so this is now, we're back to minimum. So we have lambda alpha, lambda bar alpha, and then we have mutual x, theta alpha, theta. So these are the space-time variables. I'm doing type 2. Let's say, to be specific, let's say I'm doing type 2A. So then alpha and alpha has to have opposite chirality. So I can write this one down in there. And these are the usual pure spinners.
So that means also the complex conjugate of the theta bar alpha, lambda alpha, and the Q.
So I didn't write down Q yet. Right?
Well, Q is the sum.
So Q is lambda alpha dl. That's Q.
I meant it in the bottom line where you have Q of.
So Q doesn't. So the question was, why doesn't Q hit the lambda bar? Well, it doesn't because there's no more non-minimal variable. So this is just lambda alpha lambda bar. Q commutes with lambda.
The bar is the lambda right,
Is it just a confusion of items that, or you on purpose use lambda bar for two different things? Because previously.
So previously I had to, because I had the non-minimal variables, which were the complex conjugates of lambda.
Yes.
And I had the left and right movement. So I had lambda alpha, lambda bar alpha, and then you have the right movement. Lambda hat, alpha hat.
Yes.
And the bar has alpha hat.
Yes.
Previously I had to do this.
Yeah.
Now I'm saying, let's suppose I don't do it.
Yes. But that lambda bar on the left, you insist it's not lambda hat, it's rather lambda bar. On the left part of the blackboard, your lambda bar is indeed lambda bar, not lambda hat.
On the right.
On this side of the blackboard, there is no lambda. There is only two, lambda and lambda bar.
Let us replace lambda bar with lambda hat on the left hand side.
So we write it to the hat instead of a bar.
Yes.
Okay.
What if you say they're equal? Is that okay?
I don't know if it would satisfy.
It's easy to
say. Now you have it. Okay. In a flat background, because this thing is in the cohomology, is not in the cohomology, so it's PRST trivial, saying that something is non-vanishing would naively allow you to invert it. So saying that something is non-vanishing would allow you to write things like here's the so if I don't write any indices, it means the indices are contracting. So if I allow this type of statement that this is non-zero, then naively this would be allowed. Or more specifically, this would be allowed. This would be an allowed state. But as we see, Q of this state is equal to 1. So in a flat background, it doesn't make sense to try to define this thing to be non-vanishing. Now, why would you want to do something like this?
Well, this answer is you don't add the check operator to Q. So you don't add the question.
This is. There's nothing else in Q.
Yeah, but I don't know what it is, the so-called check operator to that thing. And
that's it. Q, that's Q.
Okay, so
it doesn't work because of this problem. In a flat background. But that I'll argue that it does work in an ADS background. Is that okay? The check, by the check operator, you meant the thing R alpha delta.
Yes,
with
the difference
thing. Delta?
Or? Yeah, this is.
Right.
Don't do
this. So if I had, so if I could do this, then it would be trivial to do these kinds of integrations, because this kind of integration, if I say that lambda lambda hat is non-zero, then I can reduce it to just an integration over the projective space. So here lambda takes the value of the natural channel being 5. And there's no divergences. I mean, this is just a projective space. So this would be something that would be natural to do, but it's not possible in a flat background just because this operator here is not in the cohomology. It doesn't make sense to say that it's non-vanishing. Because if it made sense to say it was non-vanishing, it would trivialize the cohomology. But now what I'll argue is that in an ADS background, it does make sense to do that.
Wait, in Euclidean space, Suppose you work in Euclidean space.
Yeah. I mean, I am more or less working in Euclidean space.
Then you should identify lambda hat as complex conjugate of lambda.
That would be the natural thing to do. But you can't. That's my point. In flat background. Because if you did, okay, then this would trivialize the cohomology.
Suppose that I defined my theory saying that lambda hat is complex conjugate for lambda at the beginning.
Then you will run into problems. You won't be able to define functional integration. You'll get stuck. You can't do it. I mean, it's the non-minimal variable which is a complex conjugate in the flat background.
Also, if I writing path integral for action, I request specifically that lambda hat is complex conjugate to lambda, then I'm dead in Euclidean space.
Well, it's not you're dead, it's that things won't work as you want. And you do, so you'll have, if you use non-minimal variables, you'll have bars and you have padding. And you'll have exponentials, but the exponentials will be lambda lambda bar and not lambda lambda half. So if you treat lambda half as the complex conjugate to lambda, this will not
regularize the functional integral.
You're forced to identify lambda bar with the complex conjugate of lambda.
Okay. And there is a similar problem for type B.
Yes. In flat background. Okay, so now I want to argue that in ADS there's no problem. First thing to show is that this object here, so let me say what it is, and I'll do it in some years. So this is discussed in my most recent paper in
December.
So,
listen, in type 2B, you can't control.
Yeah, how do you?
Not in a Lorentz invariant way.
Oh.
So in ADS 5 times S5, of course, you have this object, which can be controlled. So let me. It's short and I'm going to use lambda. So, of course, in flat background, type 2b, this would create Lorentz covariance. So, let me know. So, we're in ADS 5 times S5, or we just demand we have SO4 1 times SO5.
But to show that the cohomology is trivial for type 2b, you would use that operator?
No. Okay, so, let me show it's trivial type 2b. So, type 2b, let's suppose you do it with gamma. Okay, so then this would be beta gamma 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, lambda half. We'll go down to lambda half. This is effect 2b, this is all 3, 4, 1. There's nothing you can do in a back background that you need something to come on.
But you'll see clearly why in a second.
So the first claim is that this is in the cohomology of ADS from this side. Okay, so how do you show that? So if you take the Lagrangian ADS 5 times S5, as Luca mentioned, you can write just in terms of the J's. So the J's are these G minus 1 and G, which are invariant under global ESCPC. So it's some combinations of the J's, and then you have to add some terms involving the ghosts, plus some term coupling the left and right moving ghosts. Okay. So this is the action in the ADS 5 times S5 background. And you can ask, what's the unintegrated vertex operator associated with the Lagrangian? So if I hit Q on Q left and Q right on the Lagrangian, in general it doesn't give you zero, it gives you a term which is E bar. So more precisely, you can do it. Okay, so first you take Q of L, so Q is equal to Q left plus Q right. Now you know this is a surface term, so it has to be written as D of F plus D bar of F bar. And now if I do Q again, since Q squared of L is 0, you know that QF must be equal to D bar of D
those F bars equal to minus D of V for the same V. So this is just a standard cohomology argument. So the same procedure, this V is the same V. And this V, if Lagrangian is not BRC trivial, this V is in the cohomology. Now if you do this for this Lagrangian, you find that V is just equal to this lambda. So it takes three lines to show. In this I can show it. An obvious question is, suppose you did this in the flat background, what would you get? If you did it in the flat background, okay, so this is the usual action. You find that V is equal to lambda gamma and theta, lambda half gamma and theta. So it's not even space-time supersymmetric. It involves theta here. The reason why it's not space-time supersymmetric is because the Lagrangian is not space-time supersymmetric. If you do a space-time supersymmetric transformation of the Lagrangian in a flat background, it changes by its own derivative. Whereas the ADS background, it's manifestly PSU2 4 invariant. So that's the first simplification, that this is PSU2 4 invariant. This is not space-time. Of course, if you do a space-time supersymmetric transformation on this operator, it gives you something BRC trivial. So, supersymmetric up to something BRC trivial. But this is, of course, invariant without having something BRC.
The V-flat is vertex operator for trace of the metric or something.
So, at zero momentum, this is a physical. And this is, of course, the vertex operator for the radius.
Is it related to dilaton?
Is it really what? So there are two scalars. There are two, at zero momentum, there are two scalars you can construct in the cohomology. One is called the dilaton, one is called the trace of the metric at zero momentum. This is one of them.
What's
the
other one?
The dilaton.
Oh, okay.
It couples to the two-dimensional curvature. So it couples to ghosts in the... If you wrote the unintegrated vertex operator, it would involve the DC ghosts in... In this form, I don't have a nice way of writing. Okay, so... Well, because this is in the cohomology of ADS, now we don't have this problem. So in ADS, the claim is okay. So we require that lambda half is non-banner. So because it's not in the cohomology, it's not going to trivialize the cohomology. So that opens up a new game, because now you can add, for example, other terms to Lagrangian which involve 1 over lambda hat. Also this means, so this immediately means that I can functionally integrate doing exactly what I wanted. So I integrate over the, let's say for tree amplitudes. So I have my integration over all the betas and theta hats, and of course over the 10 x's. So in a flat background, I need to regularize this using n. Because this would give me infinities if I didn't regularize it. In ADS, because I can restrict this to be non-zero, I can restrict this functional integration to be just an integration over 10 of the lambda. So this be like is lambda half. Let's say it's equal to capital lambda. So this is some constant. So in principle, you have to integrate over that constant. But suppose we don't integrate over it. Because this is BRST invariant, if I fix it to be a certain value, this is still going to give me a BRST invariant expression. So, of course, it's not possible to do that in a flat background because this is not in the cohomology.
But in this case it is. So this just becomes some trivial integration over the SO 10 over U5 closed. And this is just the usual integration over the full superspace. Okay, there's also a factor of the, we get something which is reparamperization variant, I mean, which is density, needs to introduce a factor of the super VR line, which is non-vanishing ADS. If I have some function of x, and I'm asked to compute the tree amplitude, so this f is just going to be, for example, for three supergravity operators, it's going to be this cube. So this describes on ADS 5 times SI, where in fact in any supergravity background you can describe supergravity fields by a superfield of this type. So to compute the three-point amplitude, you just plug this in here and do the integrations over the phase and lattice. So it's much simpler, at least the superspace integration is much simpler than in a flat background. But that's related also to the fact that Lagrangian is PSH2 foreign rank. So this expression, of course, is manifestly PSH2 foreign rank. Okay, so this is something new about ADS that I don't think was noticed before. Yes?
The picture is still SO 10 module 5, even if SO 10 is not the geometry.
Yeah, so the lambda is always defined in any background. You ask them why it's defined like this in any background?
Yeah, even if you don't have a certain.
Well, it's in order to get the cohomology to work, so I mean.
Yeah, but
it sounds kind of. It's interesting that in ADS there are different kinds of pure spinners, because if you look at it as the orbit of SO5 cross SO5, then there are many different orbits, unlike in flat space.
Yeah, so I guess, I mean, the way I think about it is this is valid in any background now.
Yeah.
It's just specification to ADS.
Yeah. So, of course, you could try to change this, the form and say there's something special that only works in ADS, but, okay, I haven't tried that.
It wouldn't be a string theory.
Well, it wouldn't be this string theory, maybe. It would be. So, at least in what I do, the pure spinners always have the same rules in any background. Okay, so that's the measure factor. So now there's something else you can do, which you can also only do in ADS, which is you can construct a Lagrangian which is BRT trivial, but which has the same stress tensor as this Lagrangian. So this is something also that only works in ADS, and it's because you have, in order to construct it, you have to allow terms which have inverse powers of this. Okay, so what are the terms I'm going to allow? So suppose you consider this object here. So so this has two vector indices, so A and B are vector indices. So let me call this HAB. Same thing as in the
this object has the property that HAB plus HBA can be derived as equal to something like 2AB. So what it does is, because lambda is a pure spinner, lambda bar is a complex conjugate, what it does is it vanishes if you choose. So there are only five A's that give you something non-vanishing here. So if you choose any pure spinner, so for example, lambda plus, this is the only non-vanishing component of lambda alpha. Then you find that lambda gamma A is equal to zero unless, okay, so A is, breaks the SO10 down to U5. So you get 1 plus I2, 3 plus I4. So this is just a statement that lambda chooses a U5 out of the SO10. So what this tensor does is it breaks the 8AB into something which is no longer symmetric in A and B, and it vanishes. Okay, so it's like a projective. So I'm not saying it in a simple way, but it allows you to write a Wessimino term for the vector indices, because now this object here is not symmetric if you change A and B.
You realize that you cannot, by SO5 plus SO5 rotations, choose lambda in that form.
Choose lambda in this form?
Yeah.
Yeah, but
it's not here.
Yeah, it's not. I mean, this is an example of a pure spinner. There are other examples of pure spinners.
It's always projector on whatever.
Any choice of pure spinner, it selects out a U5 subgroup of the SO10. So this is something that tells you how I'm going to break the SO10 down to U5. HAB is, of course, SO10 invariant.
How? What HAB has to do with SO10 over U5?
HAB, of course, is a function of lambda.
Yes.
Lambda selects a U5 out of SO10. So this tensor, this is a tensor that if I... I'm not saying it in the right way, but...
It's like a Keller form? Keller tensor?
Yeah, that's right. So it chooses a complex structure in the SO10. So I think the way you said it is right. So it's a Keller form.
It's a little weird, however, that it is not manifestly invariant under SO10, because...
No, it shouldn't be. It should just be invariant under U5.
No, because the pure spinner chooses a complex structure and correspondingly Keller structure in a way which is kind of equivariant under SO10. While your HAB is only equivariant under SO5.
Can you process this to write it with gamma AB and eta?
Say it again.
Can you process the numerator since the gammas are contracted?
So I can pull this through, and it depends if B is in the 0, 1, 2, 3, 4 direction or in the 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 direction.
I want to get rid of gamma 5. And
yeah, well, it seems to me.
But then,
so gamma AB, the undersymmetric.
It's not just gamma AB. It's not lambda gamma A, gamma B. Let me say how you can make it simple. Okay. So let's say gamma 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, lambda half, I call it lambda bar. This is something with a down in this. Okay, so now it's going to make it a little happy. Okay, so I can write this as, now I can do this. Okay, so now it's okay? Okay, so now I'm going to use this AKB to construct my Lagrangian. So, of course, this Lagrangian here, the J bosonic indices are contracted with the eta. And the fermionic indices
It seems you only need that, let's say, lambda, gamma, a, b, lambda bar, without the division by lambda, lambda bar. That's already a symmetric. So why you cannot use that?
Well, that would have ghost number 2. My Lagrangian should have ghost number 0.
Ah, I see.
Okay. And I also want to use the fact that the symmetric part is just a to a, b.
Okay, but you could have used eta, a, b, why not use the symmetric part?
Yeah, so the only thing new is the anti-symmetric part.
Okay. It's the ghost number.
Yeah, the ghost number. So there's a fermionic term here, which is... So it's like 3/4 plus 1/4. So this is the original ABS. Now I want to write a Lagrangian which has the same stress tensor, but it involves this H. Instead of 8, I'm going to use the H. And it will only involve a certain combination of the fermion. But it has the same host dependency as before. So this Lagrangian, so I shouldn't call this in the end. It's easy to show that this has the same stress tensor as this, just because the symmetric part of HAB is the same as 8AB, and the symmetric part of this is the same as symmetric. Now, this is turns out to be topological, so I can write this as Q. So the claim is that, of course, the ADS Lagrangian is proportional to the radius. And if the radius goes to 0, this Lagrangian goes to 0. But of course, we would like to have an action which describes the theory at 0 radius. So the idea is that using this tensor HAB, now you can smoothly take the radius to 0 by defining the Lagrangian on top. So this Lagrangian here is supposed to describe the theory of 0 radius. So this is something that you can only do in EDS. You could try to do this also in a flat background. So formally, you could also write down an expression like this in flat background. So you use the same H, but now these would just be would just be built out of the pi's. So these are just usual DL for D bar 3L. Plus the ghost speed. So it's easy to show that this Lagrangian is also BRC true. The difference of this Lagrangian and the original flat Lagrangian is that this is now has an antisymmetric. So there's a Wessimino piece here. And of course, there's also a Wessimino piece in the flat Lagrangian coming from the fermions that I didn't put in here. So the non-topological one would be with an A to here and with a Wessimino term here. Okay, so formally you could do the same in a flat background, but in a flat background, H is not well-defined. So, which I think is related to the fact that if you try to take alpha prime going to infinity, which would be the analog of R going to zero in the ADS, you get something which doesn't make sense. Okay, so that's what I have to say about the topological limit.
So hopefully this topological limit will be useful for
understand the idea of small radius.
So the R squared and Lagrangian ideas that you wrote, so it supposedly starts with the topological action. So the radius is in the cohomology of the topological action.
The radius is in the cohomology.
Lambda lambda hat is in the cohomology of the topological action.
Yes.
Right. And then now you're adding it to the Lagrangian. So you're breaking the topological string.
This is topological. Yeah. This is in the cohomology of the topological. Yeah.
Is it like because it's not a marginal operator?
It is a marginal operator.
It's exactly marginal.
Yes.
Right.
So we preserve BRST invariance, but now it's no longer topological.
So what's the analogous statement in usual topological string, like on the conic fold?
Which topological string?
Like on the conic fold. You're adding like a complex structure operator or something?
Yeah, so you could, so adding the moduli that gives you B field or something like that.
Not a complex structure, sorry, a Keeler deformation to the, sorry, because this is an A model, right? So, okay.
So in this case, you have many other deformations you could add.
Yeah, exactly. So you can add, you can do like the topological string, you can add all the possible vertex operators and see which directions you go in the theory space. So the operators that you can add though are only massless vertex operators.
Those would be the marginal ones.
The marginal ones. So suppose I so that's not the topological action anymore. So even I cannot rewrite the BRST charge adding some contribution from this new term such that.
So the BRST charge commutes with this, so it doesn't change the BRST charge.
Alright. Then why is this topological and the zero of radius?
Why isn't this topological
zero? Why do you expect that string theory, if you write that Lagrangian, I can see it's like instruction, but why do you expect that the zero radius limit TPS? Is it
called a field? Oh, because it's supposed to be dual to a field theory.
Well, the string theory is supposed to be dual to string theory for any radius.
Well, it's supposed to be dual to a free field theory. You know, that makes you happier, but.
String theory is meant to be dual to. The boundary CFT for any.
So you're not asking on the basis of the Lagrangian, you're asking just morally why should it be topological?
Yes.
So at zero Tuft coupling, the gauge invariant operators of Jane Mills can be expressed as just operators which don't talk to each other. So you can think of it formally as zero tension limiter. So you think of these. So it's zero because it's a free Yang-Mills theory. These operators here don't communicate with each other.
This is not true. They're free conduction.
Sorry?
This is not true. That right three-point function for free Yang-Mills. So this is non-zero.
Well, you can compute things between different gauge invariant operators.
So what do you mean when you say they're not?
You don't have to renormalize this gauge invariant operator. So
this is not true. They're in the same position as the
field. Not if it's free.
It's not true. It's just the two-point function.
Look, we know how to compute the spectrum of these operators in the free case. It is just the partition function of n Yang-Mills operators.
But this doesn't mean that the correlators one have infinities that have to be removed.
What correlators are you talking about? I'm just trying to write down the spectrum.
Spectrum is fine.
Well, that's all I'm saying. In computing the spectrum, these don't talk to each other. The spectrum is just if you take any of the PSU2-4 charges, it is just the sum of these charges.
That's two-point functions, then. You're only looking at two-point functions.
It's not, well, I'm just trying to write down the spectrum.
Spectrum is fine. That's
okay. So it's natural to say that this could come from a topological string in the sense that in a topological string, all of the interesting properties are can be thought of as isolated points which don't talk to each other. So
So in that sense, it's more natural to think of this as coming from a topological string than if you have interactions between these. I mean, there are other... Well, there are certainly other topological string theories in which the topological point in which this open-closed duality, like the ADS-CFT, at the starting point, it is topological. So this conifold case is also... So I don't know if that... I can't prove to you that it's topological just without doing any computations, but I think...
What do you mean by topological? What does it mean?
That is BST trivial, Lagrangian.
Lagrangian, okay.
So, I mean, in some sense you're trying to construct something that can be expanded around.
So would that be, suppose you set r equal to 0, you just have the topological case.
Without this, or with, oh, yes.
Just the topological.
Yes. So you have to show the cohomology of this topological string reproduces the expected closed string deformation.
Well, you also have to show that the correlation. So
yeah, that's right. So the first step is to show that you get the right spectrum.
Yes.
So you don't need to know the topological because you can add anything you accept with anything.
Sorry?
Well, the action is defined up to adding to its anything you accept.
Yeah, so the coefficient here is irrelevant. Yeah, I mean...
You can just put L equals to 0, because R equals 0, and...
Sorry?
You can put L equals to 0, because R is... The second term is 0, because R is 0.
Yeah, you put L to 0, I mean, if you start with zero, it's hard to do anything.
Well, you do the gauge fixing, you do the which produce the action.
I mean, the idea is to start with something which has cohomology.
This is topological. This is the
So, no. It sounds reasonable to me that. So, there are different directions where you see that it should be a topological.
So it's not important what you put in at all, it's important what is the BRST operator which this contains
that's
information.
Right. Yeah. That's right. So the BRST operator can be written in a way that's independent of the radius. So as a course to compute the spectrum, you need some Lagrangian, okay? Is that true?
Yeah. Yeah, it's like
you have to know what theory, what the on-shell equation of motion is.
When you write down a theory on Calabi-Yau, I mean, the action depends on the metric, but when you write down the BRST operator, it doesn't. And that's the way that you can calculate. But then you can choose any action that you like.
Yeah, so what is special with this L top that you wrote, with the psi that this chooses?
So you could, okay, so it's PSH2 foreign variant.
Mm-hmm.
So you're asking, why can't you add something else BRST trivial?
Yeah, change the psi that you hand down there with something else.
Yeah. You can do it, but if you want to keep the stress tensor being the same as here, maybe it doesn't matter. I mean, it doesn't matter what you start with. I have to start with something. So this, at least, I know that it has sensible equations of motion because it has the same stress tensor as before. I think you can start with anything that it allows you to compute equations of motion and correlators and things like that. There's not so much you can think of adding. So obviously it has to have close number 0. But if you didn't allow H, then you're stuck with this. There's nothing else. There's no way to write something BRST trivial if you're not allowed to invert lambda hat. Because there's nothing of negative ghost number you can use.
The same topological case, when it's set to 0 in R, can you compute, let's say, 3-point function?
So you can compute, it's not going to make you happy, you can compute 3-point functions of BPS states.
Yes.
You have BPS states and you get right in. That's essentially this computation here. Nothing here depends on the radius.
Oh, I see. So you say that.
So that's too easy.
So you have to do some running tests to see something non-trivial.
So
that hasn't been done, but I don't think it's an impossible computation. So one has to understand how to do computations with this topological string.
So do you have a simple expression for the superdeterminant of the superfield line?
What do you mean by simple?
What, any expressions that you can read?
Well, I know what E is. So E is just related to the, you know what E's are, right? So E's are just, so you write J equals E minus 1 dG. And you write this is, so this is EAM. Now I take the superdeterminant. So,
mm-hmm.
So there are certain gauges in which something simplified, but it's not one. I mean, I don't know.
Okay, it's not one.
No, it's not one. So it certainly involves fermionic stuff, but it's not one in ADS ordinary space either. I mean, you know it has some X dependence because it's supposed to give you, you know, the usual.
But for the three-point functions, has this been done explicitly?
What do you mean explicitly?
What have the formula for the three-point function?
So you can...
For all BPS.
So is the question expanding the synthetic that gives the right answer?
Do you see the
No, they haven't. So you can...
Or the lambda...
No, the lambda part is trivial. The lambda part is trivial. That's, this part here just contracts the indices of the lambdas and lambda hats using gamma 0, 1, 2, 3, 4. That part is trivial.
The part is not trivial, so you end up with an expression which is 32 theta, 16 theta, and kq, kx, super gear binding.
Then how do you know that this gives the right three-point function?
So it's PSU is 2-4 invariant.
That's manifest. This is just a higher measure for it.
Mm-hmm.
PSU is 2-4. The three-point function is fixed by PSU 2-4 invariant engagement.
So it's delayed
to
fit now.
Depends
how big
it might be. I don't know what that statement
means. Well, this means there's no fully satisfactory mathematical proof. If you want to, you know, believe...
I don't know what mathematical proof means.
Well, this means it's possible it's false.
You claim that the three-point half-BPS state is not fixed by PS2-4 invariant?
This is what it is believed, but there's no...
What would you consider a mathematical proof?
Well, a proof... I mean, an actual proof, not you know, take steps which are, you know, taken on faith.
We have to take the tensor product of three representations, and there are no other, there is only one invariant.
I mean, 10 years ago, people did a strong coupling computation and found the same answer as the weak coupling computation. This was a surprise. This was not like it had to work. And it took several years for people to come up with very plausible arguments that this is indeed...
It was a surprise to whom?
To everybody.
Is it a surprise also in flat background that the three-point...
Not in flat background. There's no similar statement in flat background.
There is, but it doesn't get correction.
There's no dual field theory in flat background. The surprise there was that there was a strong coupling computation of three-point functions, and the answer turned out to be exactly the same as the weak coupling computation.
So Warren, do you know... So I assume the argument is based... I'm just... So maybe Andre, no, it's just... Based on half BPS.
Tensor product of two short representations. Is it left to first, or more left?
No, I mean the actual, okay, the state of the art is the works of Hao and collaborators, where they classify possible invariants you can have.
that we're looking for non-harmonization theorem, so we're using kind of harmonic superspace. So that
the yeah, we're looking for non-harmonization, that there's all basically unique answer.
So that
just fixed by the symmetry.
So that work for three point functions?
And that's it.
And it, yeah, not for four point functions.
But this is, based on the existence of super invariants or non-existence for certain types of super invariants. So.
This is not completely proved.
I think there is an issue of whether the anomalies have been incorporated properly.
So I like show
up
back at the
rock.
This is like a
pair of it's just a tree level computation. So our own thing is a tree-level computation is fixed by PS into two foreign variants.
This is tree-level on the string theory side, right? This should
yes.
be.
It's a supergravity.
Yes. So that result corresponds to all loops on the Young-Mill side.
Okay.
So the point is, if it is not unique, then if you would do the one loop, you could get the correction. If it is not fixed by the symmetries, you could get correction. So. And the claim is that it is fixed by the symmetries, and there is lots of supporting evidence.
Okay. So maybe it's not so useful to. If everybody agrees that it's fixed. So there could be some surprises, but that would be a surprise to me. Okay, so but the argument is based on two foreign then.
Okay, but you didn't really compute.
No.
Okay.
To really compute, you have to expand out these fields, these thetas, and do the integral. There is a chance that it gets zero. So of course, saying that it's invariant up, so that's a possibility.
But that would already be, let's say, non-trivial result.
Have
the expression, the full expression for the entire half PPS sector, including all fermions.
Yeah, so it's a new result, that's what I mean.
And knowing that integral is non-zero, it would be supporting evidence for that this topological, this correctly described.
I'm not sure this is, okay. This is valid, of course, for all radians, not just for zero radians. No, I agree with you that the thing that needs to be checked is non-zero. Other than that, I think there's nothing to do with that.